Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Today, I have a guest, Lori. How long have you been in Tennessee?
It's going on 2 years in February. So you sold our house in January of 2021.
Oh, that's right. I think that was when I had COVID, possibly.
Yes, it was. Yes. Right in the middle. Yes.
Okay. So, and you sold a house. You moved to Tennessee. It's been a couple of years now, Tim and Lori. And this is Lori. She's going to answer all these questions for any Californians who are considering moving to Tennessee. And so I have a series of questions that I ask people because I think they're questions that any California or anybody for that matter is thinking, wants to know prior to moving to any state. So I'm just going to dig right into it. So tell us, why did you move to Tennessee, Lori?
Oh my gosh. How long is our podcast?
Well, as long as you want.
Well, actually, we knew eventually we did not want to retire in California and be there with the high cost of living and what we still owed on our house back there. Financially, we had to make a lot of decisions quicker than we thought we would because I had to medically retire from my career. And with that being said, my retirement pension is significantly less than what I made in my career. So that escalated the timeline about 8 years. And we were seeing that the housing market was getting really hot. And we started just kind of walking into the steps of what does it look like? We had looked at other states prior because, like I said, we knew we did not want to retire in California. We had looked in Texas. We made a couple of scouting trips there in, I believe, 2018, and God closed the door on that state for us. And then we looked at Idaho, and God immediately closed the door on that state. And our next state was going to be Tennessee. And then COVID happened, and we kind of just retreated and just kind of waited and then started looking in early 21 at Tennessee, and all the doors were just flying open for us here. So that's the
financial reasons. Cost of living,
socioeconomic, political. You know, we're conservative Christians and love it. We're in a very small town.
Where are you? What town are you in? And where is it close to? What's the biggest town that you're close to?
Okay, we're in Fairview, Tennessee, which is 30 minutes from our front door to Nashville International Airport. So we're about 25 minutes from downtown Nashville. We are about 30 minutes from Franklin. We're about 20 minutes from Dixon, which is all different directions. So in our little community, we have a super Walmart. We have a couple grocery stores. We have doctors here. Our doctors are here. Our dentist is here. She's awesome. Our eye clinic is here.
Wait, you're jumping ahead of all my questions. Now I'm not going to have any questions left.
Oh, my goodness. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're outside of Nashville.
Yes.
25. Okay. Now tell me, what are the biggest differences now that you've been there for 2 years? What are the biggest differences you've seen between Tennessee and California?
Well, the people are very friendly here. The neighbors are so helpful. You know, just, I know the mayor in our town. I never knew the mayor in Fullerton, California, ever. We've gone to city meetings. The guy down the road, he was a city commissioner. There's another guy, there's a city commissioner seat opening. He comes over and we chat just about the zoning and rebuilding. And it's just a much more hands-on, just people know you. Like, I was sick for a couple of weeks. I went into the grocery store yesterday and they're like, oh, Miss Lori, where have you been? It's just people know you here, and you go into the restaurant and like, oh, I see someone from church here. It's really a small world here.
Small town feel.
It's a very small town feel. I love it. God always wanted us to be in this type of community. We just 10 minutes away, we're in the middle of the country, seeing deer, seeing horses, seeing wild turkey. I kid you not. We will stop on the road and let the wild turkey walk by.
Oh, no joke.
It's crazy. It's amazing.
What surprised you the most from this move that you didn't maybe expect? Or were there any surprises?
How great our medical team is. That was like a real concern for me going into retirement and going into this season of our life. I think just the financial difference, the tax difference, just a lot of the financial, I had no idea there's like a cap, a specialty cap on electricity in Tennessee. There was like this underground, it's on YouTube, in Eastern Tennessee, like 200 years ago, I guess there was an underground, a city that flooded and it was underground. And as a result of that, in Eastern Tennessee, they built a huge dam. I forget the name of it. Anyway, that brought on like an energy saving
surplus.
For like hundreds of years into the future. So that's what really surprised me was our electric bill. We have our house in California. It was 1600 feet, one story, older house. Our house is 8 years old. We have an 1800 square foot house with a vaulted ceiling in our living room. And we have an upstairs in our house here. And I kid you not, because we both have sleep apnea, we had the SoCal Edison discount, medical baseline discount, like 40% off. And our bill, we would run our electric, our HVAC in the summer, we'd keep it at like 72, 73. Our bill would be $300, $350. Here, are you sitting down? Our electric bill for a bigger house at 72 degrees, no medical baseline discount, about $124 a month.
So around a third, maybe a little bit more than a third.
That's in the heat of the hot, sweltering summers.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Major difference in that. Well, speaking of that, how is the weather? Everybody from California, unfortunately, fortunate, I suppose, but Californians are blessed with some of that, been really spoiled with some of this weather we have in California. It's so mild. But tell us about the weather where you're at in Tennessee.
Well, we're probably the Grinch of Californians because we would always get depressed every Christmas and winter. We never could wear our pretty sweaters. It was, you know, we would get like just downright frustrated on Christmas Day. There'd be the Santa Anas. It'd be 85, 90 degrees. And we were just like, and just so dry. Here, the biggest difference, there are four seasons, which I love. The fall colors are gorgeous. In the spring, you see the budding trees, all the different colors, and the lush green in the summer. And it does rain here every week, a couple times a week. We're in, quote, a drought right now, which I think is funny because we had rain last week, but it's been a dry fall. It's very green here. There are tornado watches. They don't really pass through our town because it's very hilly here. It's more like the flatlands of the plains in southern Tennessee.
So that's not too many tornadoes. Yeah. So it's December right now. So it's 74 degrees here in Orange County, California. What's the temperature there?
Guess what it is? Okay, I'll tell you what it is.
45.
Alexa, what's the weather right now?
The current weather is 50 degrees Fahrenheit with clear skies and sun.
There you have
38 to 50. Alexa, wow, that's first time she's been on the podcast. That's cool.
Well, that's great. She can tell you all kinds of things about our little area, but we love it. We've already had a couple frosts and it disappears pretty quick. We had a frost, believe it or not, the week after Halloween. Like, that blows me away that.
It's dew and it gets chilly at that time.
Oh, there's frost. It looks like frost on the rooftops, on the grass. And the grass, that's the other thing about here. It's a dormant season, basically from November through March. So there's no mowing of lawns. The mowing season is over. Oh. There's a mowing season. So, and our grass is yellow. It looks like hay. And then come April, everything comes back to life and things start budding. I mean, the trees are bare. I know in California, the couple liquid amber trees we had, we would start to drop leaves in January. And I just thought, wow, that's interesting because other parts of the country, people are getting their fall in September, October, like in the northern states like Minnesota, Pennsylvania, New York. But here we're like end of October and November, there's not a leaf left on any of the trees.
So what's the coldest that you've been there a couple of years? What's the coldest it's gotten?
Last Christmas, it was -5 degrees. It was like a record cold front, and they called it an Arctic blast. And I guess it had been like 50 years since we had that. I've never been in that cold of weather in my life. I mean, all the trips we ever made to Mammoth and the mountains, you know, 20 degrees, but I had never actually physically been in anything under 0 degrees.
But that's obviously not typical though. So what would your normal low for Tennessee gets down to 20s or so at night?
10. Yeah, it gets cold. You know, we like a season change. We don't like 80 degrees, 365 days a year. That is not who we are.
Right. Right.
A lot of our friends said, oh, you know, the California, you're going to miss the beach. All the vacations we ever go to is basically country and mountains. I don't miss the beach. I mean, it's great and all, but it's not my jam. It's not my husband's jam. Our thing is we love country roads. We love just going driving country roads.
How long does the cool season last? Let's call that. How long? Each season's around 3 months.
Yeah. You know, we'll have a snap of like a couple warm days here and there. I'd say the week of Halloween, we got a cold snap. And it's been cold ever since, like right or Halloween, people were like bundled up. It was freezing at night. So since Halloween, and we're at the middle of December almost, we've only had like maybe 4 or 5 70 degree days. Everything else has been lower.
What about the humidity? I've had friends, some other folks that I know that are actually a high school buddy that's been in Tennessee for a long time. He did say there's some humidity that you do have to get. You have to be okay with a certain amount of humidity. How long is that? A couple of months of humidity? What are you seeing there in Tennessee?
Yeah, not long. We were preparing ourselves for it to be like this terrible thing. Like every time we'd go back to South Carolina to see our son, because he lived in South Carolina, it would be very humid. And when we've been to Georgia, oh my goodness, that is Hotlanta. That's humid compared to where we're at. It's very doable. And ironically, with all the climate change in California the last couple of years, living inland, not at the beach in Southern California, living in Fullerton, it was humid. It was is equally as humid there as it is here. And my husband, he comments on, oh, I thought it'd be so terrible, like going out and he mows our yard. He thought, oh my goodness, in the middle of summer, you have to mow the grass sometimes a couple times a week. That's how quick, because the humidity level, and it's kind of like God's watering system. We don't have sprinklers here. And wow. So, yeah, you literally get rain and it's green. It's green because of the rain, and we'll hit, you know, like a little bit of humidity, and then there'll be a rainstorm, and then it'll drop way down. Something about like prior to the rain, it'll be humid for a few days, and then you get the rainstorm, and then it's like, it just like sucks it up. It's weird. I've never been in rainstorms in the middle of summer, because in California, it doesn't rain in summer. So literally that kind of blew our minds. You know, people, you hear about these songs, dancing in the rain. And I thought, who would dance in the rain? It's cold when it's raining. It's warm when it's raining, but then the humidity drops way off. And I've been out in the rain, just kind of bopping around and stuff because I can.
Do you have that on video? We could put it in here. That would be wonderful. I'm just kidding.
I'll have to do, I mean, not in the next few months, but come July, August, I'll look into it.
Now, what's the elevation of where you're at?
Alexa, what's the elevation in Fairview, Tennessee?
Fairview, Tennessee has an elevation of 823 feet.
There you have it.
All right. Now, how about the taxes? How are the taxes? You got property taxes. How are the state taxes? How are the sales tax, registration for cars, all that fun stuff?
Okay. Registration for cars, are you sitting down? about $65. If you have personalized plates, it's about $110. Property taxes is about, for our house, I believe it's like $1,300 a year on our house. Sales taxes. Alexa, what's a sales tax in Tennessee?
Tennessee has a sales tax rate of 7%. This rate can increase by county and city taxes, reaching 9.75%.
And you want to ask me about gasoline?
I was just going to say, you read my mind. What is a gallon of gas right now in Tennessee in the middle of December?
At the Shell station in town, $2.89. Yeah, if I go to the county over Dixon County, it's even cheaper. It's about $2.68.
Well, there you have it. That's half of California. Okay. So how's the economy? What are the jobs? Is there a primary industry in where you're at? For example, I mean, I know California is pretty diversified with lots of industries. Seattle has the tech and Northern California has tech. Does Tennessee have anything or what pops up?
They do. The music industry, the film industry, the Christian film industry is very hot here. I know somebody that got a Dove Award and they produced one of the recent Christian films. And I know her personally, like, wow. And there's a lot of music here, a lot of country. In our little area here, like in Franklin, there's a lot of country singers that live there out in these huge, ginormous ranches. There's a medical community. There's Vanderbilt here. It's a highly esteemed, you know, medical community, kind of like on the same level as Cedars-Sinai. There's a lot of universities. There are a University of Tennessee, Tennessee Tech. There's growth, obviously. So the construction industry is very big. Ground clearing, there's ground resurfacing. That's a big thing here that I never saw in California. You see all these big ginormous trucks. I mean, it's literally because people have acres and acres, not us, we're on a quarter of an acre, but in the summer and spring mowing, there are trucks out with the mowers with their trailers. And at first I just thought it was so funny. They're on these riding mowers. And then
there's entertainment industry's really big there. There's technology there. There's schools, university, medical industry's thriving.
Yes.
So it's a pretty diversified, strong economy, it sounds like.
Yes, it is. It seems to be really good. Of course, so many people are hiring for, you know, fast food, you know, retail. I think people are still kind of stuck in that COVID, I don't want to work. So there's always hiring. So there's still a bit of that slow people not wanting to go back to work.
Well, tell me this, what is there to do? What do you do? You talked about driving on country roads. That sounds fun. What about there's things to do that maybe you don't participate in? I've heard Nashville is just a rocking town. I mean,
It really is. We don't get down there much. We're not really party music people. There's concerts, there's whiskey tastings all over the place. We've been to several different whiskey tastings.
Tennessee whiskey. That's right.
That's a big industry here. They take it very seriously. It's government ordained. So it's kind of interesting. The churches here, I will say, they really integrate the community. They have a lot of outreach events, plays. They have, you know, we're having a candlelight service on Christmas Eve, which you do not see in California. Last night we went to a bell choir concert in Brentwood, which is like a couple towns over. I mean, they have like the traditional hymn sings at different, they have so many like community, like our little town on Saturday, it was the tree lighting ceremony. It was the Christmas parade. In town here, there's a place called Bowie Nature Center, and it's acres and acres of trails. So there's hiking. There's not so much biking.
River?
There are rivers. There's Chattanooga, about 2.5 hours from us. There's huge lakes that kind of weave through the town. It's huge. At one point you're driving in Chattanooga and you look to the left and you look to the right and all you see is water. You don't even hardly see land. You see land like way off. It's almost like a Great Lake type of thing. There's waterfalls. We've been to a couple waterfalls. It's a more simple way of life. It's not hustling, bustling. I will say in Franklin, they have a lot of shopping and commerce. If you close your eyes, it's like you're in Brea Marketplace or Irvine Spectrum. It's that big. It's just every store that you see at Irvine Spectrum, it's there.
How are the schools? I know you talked a little bit about them before. How are the elementary schools? I know you don't have kids in elementary school, but tell us what you know about that. And then there's some universities and colleges that are nearby as well.
Highly rated. I know the schools in Williamson County, which is the county we're in, that's the highest rated in Tennessee. I could ask our little assistant and she could probably give us a better bird's eye view if you want me to ask her.
Well, that would tell us, well, what are universities you're close by? I'll take that they're good schools. And then there's universities and colleges, junior colleges.
Yeah, they do. They're more called community, not city colleges. There's, I believe, Columbia Community College. There's a couple branches of that. There's Belmont University. There's Tribeca. There's obviously a couple different universities, like the big universities where you see like the football. Yeah. Tennessee Titans.
I think there's pro, the Tennessee Titans. I think that's unless have they moved.
Is that pro? Oh my gosh. See, I am not a football person. Tim and I, we do miss the Angels baseball, but we're able to watch it on MLB TV. So we're good with that. There's minor league baseball teams here. And there's talk that there's going to be a professional baseball team coming to Nashville because there's room for it.
Ooh.
And we're getting in and out. We're getting an in and out headquarters in Franklin, which is 35 minutes from us. So that's going to be in like 2 years. We're very excited about that.
Californians love their in and out burgers. So I've talked about that before with other guests on other states. So how about this? The people, Californians are also want to know about the insects or critters that exist. You talked something about a wild turkey that's there.
Yes, we have, it's called a company called Serval. Every 3 months, they come out, they spray the whole entire of your house. And it's like $54 every quarter. And we don't use them basically from November to March because the bugs are non-existent. The rest of the time, you do want to have spray. But like I said, our house is insulated so well. And there's an outdoor service we have every April and every August. And it basically kills mosquitoes. It keeps the mosquitoes, fleas and ticks, and outdoor critters at bay, like a invisible perimeter around your house. And the first year we were here before we started that outdoor service, because it sprays wet and then it dries as pellets. And it goes into the ground, so it kills like grubs. And you may be asking, why would you want to do that? Well, there's an armadillo infestation in Tennessee. Armadillos, wow. And they went through our yard searching for grubs early last mid-spring. And they're, oh my goodness, we had an armadillo trapper. He trapped it. He goes and humanely euthanizes it. He traps it. He's the armadillo trapper in the area. And he literally, in a matter of 2 weeks, he trapped three armadillos in our yard. And those creatures, you think they're cute? They carry all kinds of disease.
Are they aggressive?
No, they are just slow. And it's like, I just have to ask God, why did you create this creature? See, they're blind and they're nocturnal. And then so they're bumping around like Mr. Magoo looking for food. So, I mean, the first time when we saw them, first time when we saw them, we thought, wow, you know, these are really interesting. But then we found out how terribly destructive they are. I mean, they could burrow under your house and wreak all kinds of havoc. So now, since we have this service, you know, the pellets that they spray twice a year, there's nothing for them to come to in our yard to search for food. You know, they dig through the yard. So that's all a good thing.
Yeah. So armadillos, snakes, you do have insects, you have mosquitoes, a little bit more there than in California, would you say, in terms of, did you get bit more the last 2 years than the previous 2 years?
You know, it's funny. There's been like, I know Vector Control in Orange County came out to our house because we had a major infestation of mosquitoes. And they said, I forget what happened, but there is now a mosquito infestation in California. And it's a real thing, because when we were making our treks to Tennessee, I didn't get bit there. I get back home, I get bit in my backyard. And now I really don't have to spray myself in our yard. If we go to somebody's house where they don't spray, like have a service, I do spray myself.
All right. So, that's not totally obnoxious.
But not in our yard. Not in our yard, because we have that's just part of the expense. You have to have an indoor and outdoor spraying service.
All right. And then snakes, you don't have any issue with snakes or any reptiles?
No, I've only seen dead snakes on the highway.
That's a good place to see them.
I mean, and they're dead, they're flat. You see them and you're like, this is just gross. So
you mentioned it prior to at the beginning, it's 25 minutes from your house to the main airport. Airport flies directly into John Wayne and LAX.
Yes. And it's an international airport. They're expanding. And it's funny, the people around here, they say, oh, the traffic to Nashville International is so bad. I'm thinking, honey, this is not bad. This is super easy peasy. So easy. Just, it's such an easy airport to get in and out of. We recently made a trip to North Carolina and got there. We left Saturday morning. We flew out. We got to the airport. We parked in the remote. They picked up. We literally, by the time we walked in to TSA, through TSA, you know, going through baggage and everything, less than like 7 minutes. It was crazy.
And so traffic is not even close to California. I've heard that a lot from other states.
And that's what's so funny is people say, oh, the traffic here is terrible. And I'm like, you know, you have no idea. It compared to what they were used to. I mean, our town is like 10,000 population. And they're saying, oh, we remember when there wasn't even a grocery store here. And they want it to stay the same. They don't want growth. A lot of the old timers, they don't want growth, but the only time you're going to get like the medical community, you have to have a certain parameter
threshold
of the people have to be there.
Yeah. So, for them to bring it. So what advice would you give any Californians who are thinking of moving to Tennessee?
Definitely do your homework. Find out what's important to you. Find out what you're looking for. If you have children, find out. Investigate the schools.
The schools are good.
Yeah, but different counties, they're not as good as Williamson is like the top rated. Really check out like what's important to you in California. Find out what kind of makeshifts you could do. Like for us, the hardest thing for us was finding the church community. Here we're in the South in the Bible Belt. I would say that was the hardest threshold hurdle to get over, was finding a good church community. And we ended up finding it, which is great. Literally finding out what you're looking for in a house. We made our offer on this house sight unseen. And then our realtor that we used here, she walked us through with like a FaceTime video. Mm-hmm. And we had a contingency upon my husband flying out here for the home inspection. If we saw what we didn't like, we were going to withdraw from the deal. And he came out here during the home inspection and everything looked good. And just make sure you're not in a flood zone. We're not in a flood zone because it does rain a lot. And make sure when you make a bid on a house or whatever, and you're in escrow, make sure you call the local insurance agent and find out that has there ever been a problem, because it has to be informed if there's ever been flooding. Make sure of the banking. We do all of our banking remotely because our credit union is still back home. And we do have a co-op of another, you know, where we could get money if we need it, but we're able to do everything remotely. Just find out the medical community, find out, you know, like the things you're interested in, if they have something like that, you know, if you're interested in sports, you know, getting involved. I think the biggest thing was getting our tribe of people here, people like-minded that we gel with, things that are important to us. That's what I would recommend.
What is the worst thing about Tennessee?
We did not know when we bought our house. We did not know that there was, our house is only 8 years old. It was not encapsulated. And 12 days upon getting here, this is why I talk about the flood. We are not in a flood zone. And we had a torrential rain. I mean, the backyard was flooded. Water came under the house. It freaked us out. So with that being said, we had a big expense. We encapsulated the property, which is like a sealant underneath. And they do like a French drain all around the house, the whole perimeter of the house, and a sub pump and a dehumidifier. And it seals off the whole interior. So if water comes near your property, it evacuates it to the end of the property into like a gully. And our property had low and high spots in the backyard, which has made it flood. We had a land surveyor. We hired him to come draw, you know, pull all the records. And he brought in two big loads of dirt and a tractor and ran it back and forth, all the low spots. And we've had several heavy rains since then, never a problem. And now doing that encapsulation under our house, coming from California, it never rains. We didn't even know what that was. It saves on any termite damage. You know, we had it investigated basically like before we pulled the trigger and, you know, did this big expense. We found out there was no dry mold. There was no fungus. There was no major damage if there were any rains. So we nipped it in the bud, the problem. And now we have, for the lifetime of us owning this home, it's guaranteed no flooding.
Oh, that's great.
And it's really nice. Kind of neat. You walk underneath the house and it looks like a clean room. It's just this hard plastic all encapsulating. And it's almost like if I were to walk down there now, the house underneath our house, it's the same degrees as in the house. Like in the middle of summer, you walk in there and it's like going into an air conditioned.
Is that a basement you're talking about?
It's not a basement. It's a crawl space, but it's about 20 inches high.
Okay. So just shy of 2 feet. So I know you're not a real estate agent, but oftentimes people will kind of hear what's going on real estate wise. How is the housing market there? Is it tight inventory, a lot of inventory? What would you say?
There's a lot of inventory. People are just sitting here. I think people get scared. There's properties that are just sitting. Ironically, our neighbor that's running for city commissioner, he's a realtor. And we talk a lot about that, us with him. And he said, they are still looking at the 2020 prices and the people that are selling. So they have it marked way too high. Mm-hmm. So the property is going to sit. Like I said, they're building new homes, beautiful homes, but they aren't going fast. Literally, the house we're in was only on the market not even a whole day, and we made our offer. So properties stay stagnant, you know? I think
so it's slowed down. It's slowed down the last couple of years.
It's slowed down, you know, and it seems to have flattened out.
All right. The final question is, and this is, I think, is a cool one. I personally like it, but your house in Fullerton, it was three bedrooms, two baths, approximately 1,600 square feet. What did we get that for that house? It was over $1 million. What was it?
We got just shy of $1 million. We got
just shy of $1 million.
985.
Okay. Okay. And so, and that was built in the 50s or 1960s, early 60s.
63. Yeah. It was old. Yeah. It was an old house.
And then tell us, and that sold for 980 in the high, almost $1 million. What did you buy your house? How many bedrooms, baths, size, age? We already know it's 8 years old. And then what did you pay for that house in Tennessee?
Okay. We're on a quarter of an acre. It's two-story. The master suite is downstairs. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath, attached garage. We bought it for $470,000.
So it's around a third of the cost of California, yeah. Probably.
Yes. And what I really like is the insulation is amazing. I don't know, maybe because of all the, I don't know, the traffic, you know, we don't get the dust here in the house that we used to get in California. It just would get so dusty. I don't have to dust that much, you know?
Maybe that's the dew. I don't know. I'll have to ask a scientist. All right. Well, hey, that was, I think, extremely helpful. I'm so grateful. I mean, I reached out to Lori because when I wanted to put this series together about California's moving out of state, and she was so kind and sweet enough to even give me other people to talk to from other states. I already did Arizona, and then I think I have a few more. I can't think of them at the moment.
Did you do Utah yet?
No, not yet. I think I'm in the process of doing Utah.
I have another one for you, Montana. Yeah. I'll reach out to our friends that live in Montana. I'll get in touch with them later.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. Thank you for this. I really appreciate it. Everybody, hey, if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to my channel. And I'll have not only shows about people that move from California to different states, but I have other shows that are all real estate related, and hopefully you find it useful. So I'm going to sign off now. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lori. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for tuning into The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.